I was 19 back then, just a few weeks shy of starting college. It was a big step for me, moving an hour away from home to pursue my studies. My family wasn't well off, so budgeting was key. I remember it was late July, a hot summer evening, when I first started looking for a place to stay near campus. The rental market was insane, with prices way out of my league. That's when I stumbled upon this too-good-to-be-true Craigslist ad. It was a room for rent, dirt cheap, and just 20 minutes from college. The ad mentioned the landlord was a guy looking for female tenants. He had some issues with male tenants in the past, or so the ad said. I was kinda nervous about it, but desperate times, right? I messaged the guy, and he replied quickly, inviting me to see the place the next day. I told my best friend Tracy about it. She was skeptical, warned me to be careful. I promised her I'd be cautious. I drove down there the next day, my old car groaning all the way. The house was in a quiet, almost too isolated part of town. I remember checking the time. It was around 3 p.m. The sun was high and the streets were eerily quiet. The house looked decent from the outside, nothing out of the ordinary. The landlord, a middle-aged man, greeted me with a wide smile. He seemed nice, offered me a glass of water, and started showing me around. The house was old but well-kept. The living room had this vintage charm with old photographs on the walls. He talked a lot, mostly about the house and the neighborhood. There was something off about him, though. His eyes darted around a lot, and he was a bit too eager to show me the room. As we walked through the house, I texted Tracy, letting her know where I was. Then he said the room was in the basement. My stomach dropped a bit, but I brushed it off, thinking I was just being paranoid. The basement stairs creaked under our weight, and the air got cooler as we descended. The basement was cluttered, dimly lit, and had a musty smell. My heart raced a bit faster, and I could feel the tension in the air. The room he showed me was strange. The door was this heavy steel thing with a deadbolt on the outside. I remember thinking, why would anyone need a deadbolt lock on the outside of a tenant's room? The room itself was small, cramped with a dingy twin bed, in a closet filled with random clothes. It didn't feel right. I stood at the threshold, not wanting to go in. He urged me to step inside, but I refused. That's when things went south. His demeanor changed instantly. He reached out to grab my arm, his friendly facade gone. I panicked, my heart pounding in my ears. Instinctively, I clawed at his eyes, giving myself just enough time to turn and bolt up the stairs. I could hear him shouting behind me. I burst out that house like my life depended on it, which, looking back, it probably did. My heart was racing and my hands shook as I fumbled with the car keys. Finally, I got the engine to start and I sped away. My mind was a whirlwind of fear and confusion. How did a simple room rental turn into this nightmare? I remember driving aimlessly, with tears streaming down my face. After about 15 minutes, I pulled into a store parking lot. I needed to call the cops, but my thoughts were so jumbled. I took a few deep breaths, trying to calm myself down. I reached for my phone and dialed 911. My voice was shaky as I explained everything to the dispatcher. They asked for the address and promised to send someone to check it out. I sat there in my car, trying to process everything. After the call, curiosity got the better of me. I opened Craigslist on my phone, searching for the ad again. It was gone, like it had never existed. That sent a new wave of fear through my body. Who was this guy, and what was he planning? I shivered, wrapping my arms around myself. I waited in the parking lot, not sure what to do next. After about 20 minutes, my phone rang, it was the police. They told me they went to the house and found the guy. He was taken in for questioning. I felt a sense of relief, but it was mixed with unease. They asked if I could come down to the station to give a statement. I agreed, still feeling a bit numb. I drove to the police station, the events of the day replaying in my mind. At the station, I gave my statement, describing every detail I could remember. The officers were kind, offering me water and reassurances. They told me they found some disturbing things in the house, things that hinted at foul play. It was surreal, sitting there in the brightly lit room, talking about what had happened. It felt like something out of a crime show, not my life. A few weeks later, I got a call from the police. They had finished their investigation. The guy was part of a human trafficking ring. They found evidence in his house, things that tied him to missing persons cases. It was horrifying to think I could have been one of those victims. I remember feeling a mix of relief and guilt. Relief that I escaped, but guilt for those who didn't. This experience altered my sense of reality. I still went to college, but I stayed in a dorm, surrounded by people. It took me a long time to feel safe again. I shared my story with friends and family, warning them about the dangers of things like Craigslist. It's scary to think about how easily things can go wrong. I was lucky, but not everyone is. I remember this like it was just yesterday. I was in my mid-20s, not really where I wanted to be in life. I was working this dead-end job, barely making enough to get by. Things at home weren't great either. My girlfriend and I had been living together for a couple of years, but we were fighting all the time. It was clear we needed to split, but finding a new place on my budget felt impossible. I was scrolling through Craigslist one night, not expecting much, when I stumbled upon this ad for an apartment that seemed too good to be true. The apartment in the ad was perfect. It was within my budget, which was a miracle on its own. The pictures showed a clean, well-furnished place, something I didn't think I could afford. It was a bit on the outskirts of town, but I figured a bit of a commute was worth it for a place like that. So, I shot an email to the guy who posted the ad. I was so anxious, waiting for a response. I remember checking my email every hour, hoping he hadn't already rented it out. A couple of days later, I got a reply. The guy, let's call him John, said the apartment was still available and asked if I wanted to come check it out. We set a time for the weekend. I remember feeling a mix of excitement and nerves. The place looked amazing online, but you hear all these Craigslist horror stories, right? I told myself it was just my anxiety acting up. I needed to get out of my current situation, and this seemed like my best shot. The day of the viewing, I drove out to the address John had given me. It was a decent drive, far enough that the city noise faded away, leaving just the sound of my car and the wind. When I finally got there, John was waiting outside. He was this rugged-looking guy, maybe in his late 40s. He seemed pretty chill, but there was something about him that I couldn't quite put my finger on. John greeted me, and we exchanged a few pleasantries. That's when he dropped the bombshell. He apologized, saying there'd been a mix-up and the apartment in the ad wasn't the one available. He said there was another one, just a few minutes away, that I could look at. I remember feeling this sinking feeling in my stomach, something that didn't feel right, but I was desperate for a place, so I agreed to follow him to this other apartment. We got to the other place, and my heart just sank. It was nothing like the pictures. The house looked old, run down, and neglected. It stood alone, surrounded by thick woods, giving off this eerie vibe. I remember thinking I should just turn around and leave, but a part of me was curious. or maybe just too polite to bail without at least a quick look. As we stood outside, I noticed someone peering at us from a window. It was so sudden, just a glimpse of a face, and then they were gone. I asked John about it, and he said it was just his maintenance guy fixing something inside. His answer felt rehearsed, and the way he kept glancing at the window made me more uneasy. Something was definitely not right about this place, and I could feel every alarm bell in my head ringing. I stood there, just taking in the scene. The house was in such bad shape, it looked like it hadn't been cared for in years. John kept insisting that I come inside and take a look around, but everything about this situation screamed bad idea. I remember thinking about all those stories you hear, about people getting into trouble after meeting someone from an online ad. I never thought I'd find myself in a situation like that, yet here I was, in the middle of nowhere with a guy I didn't know, feeling more anxious by the minute. At this point, I was pretty much done. I told John this wasn't what I was looking for, and that I appreciated his time. He seemed disappointed, but I couldn't tell if it was genuine or not. As I walked back to my car, I kept looking over my shoulder, half expecting someone to come running out of the woods or the house. My heart was racing, and I couldn't shake this feeling that I was in danger. Once I got back in my car, I didn't waste any time. I started the engine and drove off. As I drove, I kept replaying the whole situation in my head, thinking about how it could have gone wrong. I felt foolish for even going out there in the first place, but I was also relieved that I had trusted my gut and left when I did. For days after that, I couldn't let go of the odd feeling. I kept thinking about the guy in the window, wondering who he was and what he was doing there. I never heard from John again, and I was more than okay with that. I eventually found another apartment. Nothing fancy, but it was safe, and that's all that mattered. Looking back, I realized how lucky I was to get out of that situation unharmed. It was a wake-up call, for sure. I learned to be more cautious, especially when dealing with strangers online. It's scary to think about what could have happened if I hadn't listened to my instincts. It's been a few years since that happened, and I've moved on. But I still think about it from time to time. It's one of those experiences that stick with you. A real-life horror story that I was lucky enough to walk away from. Now, whenever I hear about someone using Craigslist or any similar site, I always tell them to be careful. You never know who you might meet, and it's always better to be safe than sorry. What I'm about to share with you happened to me about 2 years ago. Life was tough back then. I was living alone, juggling bills and a job that barely covered the basics. There's something about being in your late 30s and feeling like you're still struggling to find your footing. I had moved to this small town for a fresh start, but it hadn't quite worked out as planned. My apartment was cozy, filled with memories and items from a past life I was trying to move on from. That's when I decided to declutter and make some extra cash through Craigslist. I had a bunch of stuff that I didn't need anymore. Old books, some kitchen gadgets, but the big ticket item was my old iPhone. It was in decent shape, just sitting in a drawer gathering dust. Posting it on Craigslist felt like a no-brainer. I took some photos, wrote a description, and put it up for sale. That night, I remember checking my email obsessively, hoping for a quick bite. The clock ticked past midnight, and I was about to call it a night when I finally got a response. The email was from a woman, who seemed pretty straightforward. She was interested in the phone and wanted to chat over a call. I was cautious. You hear all sorts of stories about online deals going sideways. We decided to talk the next day, just to ensure we were both comfortable with the sale. That conversation was surprisingly pleasant. She sounded genuine, even mentioned her boyfriend was a bit overprotective and insisted on coming along for the meetup. I found it reassuring. It made the whole thing feel safer. We agreed to meet at a nearby gas station later that night when I got off work. It was a public place, well lit, and it seemed like the safest option. I remember feeling a bit anxious about the whole thing. Selling online was new to me, and despite the pleasant conversation, you never really know who you're dealing with. The day of the meetup, I double-checked everything. The phone was charged, wiped clean of my data, and ready to go. I left my apartment that evening, feeling a mix of excitement and nervousness. The drive to the gas station was uneventful. It was a warm evening, the kind where the town felt alive even as the sun set. I got there a bit early, parked in a spot where I could see the entire lot. That's when the waiting game started. Minutes ticked by, turning into what felt like hours. I tried calling her, sent a couple of texts, but got no response. The gas station was quieter than I expected, with not much people coming and going, and also no sign of the woman from Craigslist. Just as I was about to leave, feeling a mix of relief and disappointment, a car pulled up next to me. It was them, the woman and her boyfriend. She apologized for being late, saying they got held up. There was something off about the boyfriend, though. He didn't say much, just nodded and looked around, seeming almost nervous. But I didn't think much of it at the time, thinking maybe he was just as cautious as I was about these online meetups. We started the transaction with me still in my car. She examined the phone while I rummaged through my purse for the charger. That's when things took a turn. I glanced up and found myself staring down the barrel of a gun. Her boyfriend, who had seemed so quiet and unassuming, now had this tense look in his eyes. I remember freezing, my mind completely scrambled. This couldn't be happening. Not here. Not to me. It became more real as he reached for the door, his other hand still holding the gun. In that terrifying moment, time seemed to stand still. The gas station was quiet, the occasional car passing by, unaware of the nightmare unfolding in my car. My heart was pounding so hard, I could barely hear anything else. But then, something happened. A car pulled into the station, its headlights cutting through the darkness. It was like a switch flipped in the guy's head. He quickly lowered the gun, looking around nervously. I didn't think, I just acted. My hand shot to the gear shift and I floored the gas pedal, the car lurching forward. I remember the screech of tires against the pavement, the sudden rush of air as I sped out of there. My mind was a blur, panic and adrenaline mixing in a way I had never experienced. I kept glancing in the rearview mirror, expecting them to be chasing me, but they weren't. I just drove, not really knowing where I was going, just wanting to get as far away as possible. The streets were mostly empty, the occasional late-night walker or car passing by. Eventually, I pulled over. My hands were shaking so badly I couldn't keep driving. I sat there, trying to catch my breath, trying to process what had just happened. It felt surreal, like a scene from a movie, not something that could happen in real life, especially not to me. I reached for my phone, my first thought to call the police, but then hesitated. What could I even say? How could I explain this without sounding like I was overreacting? But I knew I had to report it. This wasn't just a close call. It was an attempted robbery, maybe worse. I dialed 911, my voice trembling as I spoke to the operator. I described everything. The meeting, the gun, the way they looked, and their car. The operator was calm, asking questions and taking notes. They said they would send a patrol car to the gas station and asked me to stay where I was until an officer could meet me. A police car arrived a few minutes later. The officer was kind, but I could tell he was concerned about the lack of details. It was dark, I hadn't gotten a good look at their faces or the car's license plate. I gave them everything I could remember, but it didn't feel like enough. The officer told me they would do their best, but without more to go on, it was going to be difficult. After the police left, I just sat in my car for a while. The fear was starting to fade, replaced by this heavy feeling of disbelief and vulnerability. I had always thought of myself as someone who was cautious, who wouldn't get into a situation like this, but life is full of surprises. I drove home while trying to breathe steady, slow breaths. When I finally got home, I locked the door behind me, the familiar surroundings of my apartment offering little comfort. I tried getting some sleep, but that wasn't happening, not after what I had just gone through. The next day, I called off work, unable to face the idea of pretending everything was normal. I stayed inside, the events of the previous night replaying over and over in my mind. I realized how lucky I was to have gotten away, but it didn't feel like luck. It felt like a warning, a reality check of how quickly things can go wrong. I never went back on Craigslist after that. The phone, the money, it all seemed so trivial compared to what could have happened. I became more careful, more suspicious of strangers. It's a feeling I still haven't quite shaken, even 2 years later. Okay, so this was like a few weeks ago. I was just scrolling through Craigslist late at night, just out of sheer boredom. That's when I came across this ad for a pair of snow boots, brand new, just my size, and only for $25. Now, you gotta understand, I'm not exactly rolling in cash. Most of my clothes are secondhand, or from Goodwill. So, seeing this deal, especially with a big snowstorm coming up, felt like hitting the jackpot. I shot an email to the seller. They had their email right there in the ad. I mentioned that I was interested in the boots. I didn't think much of it, honestly. I just wanted those boots before the snow hit. The seller told me this story in the email about her husband getting these boots for her last year, but she never used them. It was past 11 p.m., and I'm usually not the type to go to anyone's house that late, especially a complete stranger. But I really didn't want to be stuck without snow boots, so I just decided to go for it. I got in my car and headed over. It was about a 15-minute drive. Now, this is where red flags started popping up. The house was at the end of a dead-end street, totally dark, like all the lights were off, which was weird considering the fact that we agreed for me to come over. I remember sitting in my car for a minute, just feeling this queasy feeling in my stomach. But I told myself I was being silly and got out of the car. So I walked up to the house and rang the doorbell. There was no answer at first, which made me even more nervous. I rang it again, and finally, the door opened. It was a man, not a woman like I was expecting. He was like, "You're here for the boots, right? My wife's in the shower, but come on in, I'll get them for you." I hesitated, but didn't want to seem rude or anything, so I went in. But once inside, I started noticing stuff. Like, it didn't look like any woman lived there. No pictures, no personal items, nothing. Something just wasn't seeming right. The guy started rummaging around, pretending to look for these boots, going through cabinets, bags, even peeked into closets. Then he stops and goes, "Oh, sorry, just remembered they're in the basement." He tells me to come down with him. That's when I felt a real panic setting in. I told him I'd rather wait upstairs, but he just kept insisting and trying to make small talk while slowly moving closer to me. That's when I knew something was really wrong. I just blurted out that I had to go, so I turned around and sprinted for the door. I could hear him behind me, his footsteps getting louder. It was like one of those nightmares where you can't run fast enough. I managed to get out of the house, but he was right on my heels. I never run so fast in my life. I made it to my car, slammed the door shut, and locked it just as he reached for the handle. He started banging on the window, yelling something, but I couldn't hear over my own heartbeat. I just started the car and drove off as fast as I could. I didn't stop until I was far away from that street. Once I calmed down a bit, I went straight to the police. I ran down the whole situation by them. Afterwards, they went to check out the place, but according to the police, the guy just denied everything. They said he was actually very friendly toward them and even invited them inside to look around. It irritated me to no end because it sounded like he was pretending to just be a regular guy who got misunderstood. The police said they couldn't find anything. No proof, no evidence, nothing. I couldn't afford to take it to court or anything like that. So in the end, he just got away with it. And that's what scares me the most. He's still out there. And who knows if he's done this before or will do it again. It's been a few weeks now, but I still can't shake off that fear. I keep thinking about what could have happened if I hadn't run when I did. It's like you hear about this stuff happening to other people, but you never think it'll happen to you. Ever since that night, I'm a lot less trusting of people. So that's my story. I guess the lesson is, be careful with Craigslist. And maybe don't go to strangers' houses late at night. I definitely learned that the hard way. I just wish that guy had gotten what he deserved. But life doesn't always work out the way you want it to. So this whole thing started when I decided to sell my old tablet on Craigslist. I'm a widow in her early 60s, so I'm not really good with technology. I had to Google how to list items for sale. It took me a while, but I finally managed to get my tablet listed. I included my email address for interested buyers to contact me, and just hoped for the best. The very next day, I got an email from someone interested in buying the tablet. I was so excited. He asked for my address, and I, not knowing any better, just sent it to him. In hindsight, though, I see how that wasn't such a good idea. We arranged for him to come over the next day at 3 p.m. to check it out. I was happy it was going so smoothly. However, that happiness didn't last very long. The guy didn't show up at 3 p.m. Instead, he showed up at my door at 9 p.m. He gave some excuse about having to drop off relatives at the airport and getting stuck in traffic. Before I knew it, he had kind of pushed his way into my house, asking for the tablet in a rush. I was shocked and appalled. When I showed him the tablet, he just handed me $25, saying that's all he had. I was confused because I had listed it for $75. I told him that, but then he snapped. He started yelling and swearing at me, calling me names, saying I was an idiot for not wanting to negotiate. I was getting scared at this point. I tried to calm him down, telling him I was waiting for other offers, but that if nobody else was interested, I'd consider his offer. That's when he threatened me, saying I'd better not sell it to anyone else, or I'd regret it. He said he was going to the bank to get another $20, and that would be his final offer. I was terrified. I just agreed because I wanted him out of my house. As soon as he left, I locked the door and called the police. I was shaking while telling them everything and begging them to come before he returned. I barely had time to catch my breath when I heard his car pull up again. My heart was racing as I heard him banging on my front door. I didn't dare answer. He kept banging and started shouting, getting angrier by the second. I rushed to my bedroom and hid while hoping for the police to arrive soon. Then, just when I thought he was going to break down the door, the police siren sounded in the distance. I've never felt so relieved in my life. The banging stopped, and there was some shouting outside. I peeked through the window and saw the police had arrived and were talking to him. They came to my door, and I opened it, still shaking. They told me they had him in custody and asked me to explain everything that happened. So I told them about the Craigslist ad and about him showing up late and threatening me. They took my statement and said they would handle everything. I decided to press charges, What he did was terrifying and unacceptable. The officers were really kind and reassured me that I did the right thing by calling them. They stayed until they were sure I felt safe and told me to call immediately if anything else happened. After they left, I just sat there, trying to process everything. I never imagined something like this could happen to me, just from trying to sell a tablet online. I learned a hard lesson about being careful with personal information and who to trust. I haven't used Craigslist since then. It's just too scary to think about what could have happened if the police hadn't arrived when they did. I tell everyone now to be extra careful when selling things online. You never know who you're dealing with. Even now, I'm nervous as I share this story with you. However, I'm grateful that I'm safe and that the police were there to help me. I just hope no one ever has to go through something like that. I've been a hardcore gamer ever since I was able to grasp a controller as a child. This Craigslist encounter happened about 7 months ago. One night, I was scouring Craigslist for some rare finds. I'm really into collecting retro consoles and games, so you better believe my eyes lit up when I stumbled upon a listing for a bundle of Nintendo games, NES, SNES, N64, all promising their original boxes. The price was insanely low, practically a steal. Without hesitation, I reached out to the seller. My fingers were practically trembling with excitement. The listing was pretty new, as it was only up for a couple of hours, and to my surprise, the seller responded within 15 minutes. We arranged to meet that same night, around 8 p.m., in a Walmart parking lot. It's where most folks around here go when doing any sort of online marketplace transaction, since it's a very visible public area. However, this seller's instructions were specific. He insisted that we meet in the back corner of the parking lot, where he would be waiting in a black Escalade. He mentioned he preferred to park away from prying eyes for security reasons. This detail set off a small alarm bell in my head, but my excitement for the games clouded my judgment. I asked myself, what was the worst that could happen? And that was probably the dumbest thing I did, aside from agreeing to the meeting spot this guy chose. I arrived at Walmart in my trusty 2004 Toyota Corolla and made my way to the designated spot. There it was, an all-black Escalade. The windows were tinted so dark that I know for a fact they weren't legal tints. The muffled sound of rap music vibrated from its frame. A sense of unease started to creep in as I parked next to it. Gathering my courage, I stepped out and approached the driver's side since the passenger side window was up and I couldn't see a thing inside. The driver's side window was rolled down halfway, and I was greeted by a man with a sly grin. I asked if he was the Craigslist seller and tried to peer into the car, but I couldn't make out much. He quickly shifted the conversation to the transaction. His tone was serious and businesslike. Beside him sat another man, but he had a hoodie covering his head, so I couldn't get a good look of him. All I know is that he was holding onto a black garbage bag. The driver demanded the cash first, which I reluctantly handed over. He then passed me the bag. It felt ridiculously light. Curious, I reached in and was met with a sinking feeling as I pulled out an empty game box. My heart sank as I realized I had been duped. The bag contained nothing but empty boxes. At that point, it was pretty obvious I had just gotten scammed. I demanded my money back, my voice shaking with a mix of anger and fear. That's when the situation took a dark turn. The back passenger door of the Escalade swung open, and a large man emerged, brandishing a pistol. The driver's tone turned threatening as he demanded me to hand over my wallet and phone. In that moment, the reality of the danger I was in hit me. I complied since I was outnumbered and I was never the confrontational kind of guy. Barely a second after handing over my stuff, I felt an extremely sharp pain on the back of my head, and then everything went black. When I regained consciousness, the scene was chaotic. EMTs were attending to me, and police officers were swarming the area. The back of my head was throbbing like crazy. That's when I realized that I had been knocked out cold. An officer kneeled beside me and asked me if I remembered anything that happened. I told him what I could remember, but the hope of catching the criminals was slim. My phone was gone, untraceable, and there were no leads to pursue. The EMTs insisted I get checked out at the hospital just in case, so they brought me over there. I called my older brother and told him what happened, and asked if he could take me to pick up my car at the Walmart parking lot. I remember he was extremely pissed, but relieved that nothing worse happened to me. But I brought this upon myself. I had ignored several red flags and was blinded by my enthusiasm for the games. I still can't believe how stupid I was, but I've definitely learned from that mistake. It took me a long time to muster the courage to search for games again online, and when I finally did, I was a lot smarter and used common sense when meeting up with strangers. I learned the hard way that no matter how excited we are about something, we just can't let our guard down.